Anyways, Lena Dunham was hospitalized over the weekend.
Okay.
For a ovarian cyst that erupted inside her ovarian tubes. She has this thing. It's a female reproduction infection disease called endometriosis. And which is one of the side effects is having ovarian cysts that pop.
Okay.
That's what she has, and she's been very open about it. She's had it since November, or at least has been talking about it since November. And she had to go under surgery. I will kick you out of here. I do not want to listen to you do this tonight. I've had enough of you. Yeah, so she's been open about it on her show Lenny, which I guess is a podcast show or something that she does, because her name is Lena.
I don't know.
But so she had to get surgery, and now she's better.
Is that good? Do you like Lena Dunham?
I don't know.
You're indifferent. Doesn't matter.
Okay. I can do with her. I can do without her. She's a U2 song to me, so.
Okay.
Jimmy Kimmel has been hired for the second time to host the 2016-68 annual Emmy Awards. And I didn't know about this about the Emmy Awards, but they rotate between ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC. Like every year they go on a different network instead of, you know, where it's like every show, every award show is pretty much on ABC or affiliated with their family. And Emmy, I guess they're like super cool. They're like, we're going to do it everybody.
Well, I get that because it's TV. So they probably give it to all the networks considering that they're all up for awards. So they give them
all a shot every year. That makes sense. Where it's like the Oscars and the Grammys, they're just on ABC because... Because
that's the thing. But the Emmys are probably like, well, you know, one year NBC wins the most awards. Another year ABC, CBS. So it probably does it like that. So they probably just do yearly deals.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, because last year, Andy Samberg did it on Fox.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, so he hosted it on Fox last year. All right, so Kelly Clarkson is saying that Dr. Luke is a very difficult person to work with, and that at the time she did the album that Since You've Been Gone is on,
yep.
And My Life Would Suck Without You, and whatever awesome songs are on there, but that album he helped produce. And she said that he is like the most difficult person in the whole entire world to work with. And she's worked with, of course, she's worked with so many people. Now, she has since been away from RCA Sony Records, which he is their producer. And she said that they pretty much blackmailed her and said, if you don't work with him, we will never put out another album of yours. So basically the contract got up. She's like, I'm out. I'm not dealing with y'all. She said that he lies a lot, that he's very demeaning, very, very rude, and is not a good person and isn't compatible with her. And that's the thing is when so many artists are coming out and saying how big of a bad person you are, that's a sign that you're right. Could.
But that's a far cry from rape.
Yeah.
That's a far cry from rape. And that's the difference between he's difficult to work with, he lies, he's demeaning, he's mean, and then he bent me over and raped me.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. And that's what Keisha was saying. And her deposition under oath was different than what she was claiming. And in a deposition under oath, she said he never raped her.
No.
So that is what killed her. And that's what basically had the judge rule against her. Because claiming somebody is an a-hole is different than saying they raped them.
Yeah.
And that's what Keisha was claiming, that Luke would constantly rape her. And that's BS.
And see, the thing is, like, Kelly Clarkson, because people, I guess, were getting onto her saying, oh, why aren't you defending? And she goes, well, I wasn't there. I don't know the situation. Her situation is different from my situation, and it's different from anybody else's situation with Dr. Luke, so I'm not here to speak upon on her. Like, that's not my, that's not what I do.
And if her speaking out wouldn't have done anything, yeah, because then the question would have been, so did he ever rape you?
Yeah.
And Kelly Clarkson would have said, well, no. And I said, okay, well, you know, that wasn't the debate. The debate was rape.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got to this point. And let's face it, Keisha is a crybaby. She went through exactly what Kelly Clarkson went through, and Kelly Clarkson knew that she had to wait till her contract was up,
yeah,
and she said, deuces.
She left,
dealt with it, produced hit songs, and then left. Keisha didn't want to deal with it,
yeah,
and thought she could lie and come up with rape and this, and then she would get let out of her contract. And the judge said, no,
mm-hmm,
you have a contract. And that's what she gets.
Yeah.
And that's why there's no Keisha record. There's nothing. They're no. It's over. Forget about it. She's a scumbag.
The kind of show says, it's like, you know, Kelly Clarkson, she's like, because she says, I just have to, you know, you have to deal with it in some situation. Where it's like, you know, in some, not saying deal with someone being claim on rape, but if you,
yeah,
if you are working with a company and you know you have hits and you have to work with somebody that
that's
is very
difficult, yes,
it's very difficult. It's kind of like, just let it. She's like, let's
how
let
many,
it roll.
How many football players have gone on the record, you know, as time has gone on and said such and such coach was a dick, was a bad dick. Well, what are you gonna do?
I mean, what,
it,
look
it
what
is
Chip
what
Kelly
it is.
Had to go through.
Huh?
Look what Chip Kelly had to go through.
I mean, it is what it is. Aside, you know, being raped is kind of the line. You know, being physically abused is the line, but being Ike Turner is the line.
Yeah.
But if you're not Ike Turner, and you got a producer that's like, do it again. That version sucked. That sucked. You suck. You need to step. What are you going to do? That's life. That's the life of being a rock star, being a sports star, being a movie star.
Yeah.
There's a story to round this off.
Okay.
The movie Shining.
Yeah.
Okay, starring Jack Nicholson and Shelley.
Shelley Long?
Shelley.
No.
Shelley. I can't remember the girl who plays his wife. Okay, the girl who plays his wife, Shelley. I can't remember. She plays Nicholson's wife in the movie. She. Stanley Kubrick got mad at her for, I don't know why, but there was a scene that she did, and it, you know, he goes, well, I do it again. I didn't like that. They did it again. He goes, I didn't like it. Let's do it again. She kind of got an attitude. She kind of got an attitude, so to speak, over the, you know, him saying, do it again. That he then proceeded to make her do it something like 130 times. They did 130 takes because she didn't do exactly how he wanted it done. And then she was kind of a dick about it. So he purposely was like, do it again, do it again. And that was a big story that Kubrick did that to
her.
Yeah, you've seen the video of Russell arguing with Lily Tomlin.
Yep.
And he's screaming at her and throwing stuff, and she's yelling at him. I mean, it's what happens when you're When you're creative, these are the things. If you get raped, though, that's bad. But if there's no rape going on, you're all adults, you're all making millions of dollars, and you're trying to create something great,
mm-hmm.
It is what it is. Stop being a little baby. So, there you go.
Ran Meisner, who is the co-founder of the Eagles, one of the many co-founders of the Eagles, his wife, Lana Ray, was shot and killed.
Oh, Jesus.
On accident.
That's bad.
LAPD in Studio City. Studio City.
Near where we used to live.
Yeah. But up in the hills where all the famous people live.
Okay.
So not by us.
Why?
We lived 10 minutes, 15 minutes down the road in the middle of good and bad. So that's where we lived. All right?
All right, fine.
So LAPD Detective Gus Berenitos says it was a weird accident. She was going inside a dark closet and a gun went off, shot her, and killed her.
I don't know about that.
So that's what happened. Still investigating. But
just randomly going into a closet, a dark closet, and the gun just went off. I don't know.
Well, she probably accidentally touched it, and it was loaded. I'm like, why do you have a loaded gun in your house? I thought that was the whole point is you're not supposed to have a loaded gun. Or not supposed to. You can do whatever you want with your guns. But I thought the common sense mold was just don't have everything by you, but not everything in by
loaded
you.
Loaded and ready to go.
Yeah.
Have a lock on it, maybe a safety, something like
but
that.
But something that's just lying
not
around.
Not just
going,
lying, gun, loaded gun lying around pointed at you.
Yeah.
So when you walk into a dark closet, it just happens to go off. Yeah, I don't know. There might be a little something more to come out of that. But we'll see.
One of our finest first ladies passed away over the weekend.
Yes.
By the name of Nancy Reagan.
Yes, she did.
She was first lady from 1981 to 1989. I was born in 1989. I was born the last year of the Reagan era. Okay, can we just say that, please?
We could say that.
All right. Thank you. She was a devoted, wonderful, amazing wife, mother, and person. Just say no to drugs.
Yes.
I've always lived up to that rule up until I was 21, so.
You did drugs when you were 16, 17.
What are you talking about? I didn't know such thing. I was sheltered in homeschooled.
Oh, you're like Iowa.
Yes. And I was locked in the closet, so I didn't see the outside world. And then I used my telekinesis powers to throw knives at people. I just coded Carrie.
Telekinesis? I like that.
Nursing Carrie.
It's a big word.
Was Sissy Spacek?
Bits and pieces.
Then you don't know what I'm talking about. Say I was born. Oh, wait, that's. So I was born. Oh. Then he came in. I think people would just get confused. I get confused. I think I. You know what? I was still born under the last year of Reagan. I'm just going to say that.
Okay.
So I was born in 88, whatever.
You were born July of 89.
No, right now I'm born in 88. I'd rather be born under
You're
Reagan.
Born
Please,
July
don't ruin this for me.
Of 89, and George H.W. Bush took office January 20th of 1989.
I'm not going to say any more stories because you're ruining my life right now.
I'm just saying. I didn't want you. Okay, I love you. Go ahead.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Ronald Reagan passed away in 2004
mm-hmm.
from Alzheimer's.
Yes, he did.
And Nancy was by his side the whole entire time, even in his 6 months was no 69 days in office. He was shot at, and someone attempted assassination on him.
Yeah,
and Nancy Reagan was by his side the whole entire time.
Yeah, his first year in office.
Yep, 69 days. So that's 3 months.
Was it? Was it in the first 3 months?
Wow. 2 months maybe.
I didn't realize it was that soon into his term. I didn't realize that. I remember when it happened. I mean, it was.
Of course you remember it happening. You're old, so of course
I'm that old.
Please.
was 7 years old.
Yeah, it's still old.
It was only seven.
Well, you're old
but
now.
But I remember, so. I just remember that. Like, that I remember. It's one of those things that you just remember, the president being shot. You're like, that yeah. I remember. It was a big deal. Yeah. I mean, anytime a president is shot is a big deal, but I remember being a big deal. I was in school, and it was like, they just like when the space shuttle disaster happened, it was a big deal. They put it on. We used to, it was back when I actually saw it happen because back then, when I was in grammar school, they would put the space shuttles going up
mm-hmm.
in school. Like they would be like, hey, everybody, at whatever time, we're going to watch the space shuttle go off. And they would bring the televisions on the carts into the rooms, and we would watch this stuff. So we watched it live, and then it blew up. And we were all like, what happened? So I remember that. And I remember Reagan being shot because it was on all the TVs. Like, people went to the TVs. It was like turning it on, and it was a big deal. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever I was, I want to say I was in Plank South, but maybe not. I don't know. Anyways, continue.
Sports news. Peyton Manning has officially announced his retirement in tearful speech this morning after 18 seasons between the Colts and the Broncos, winning 2 Super Bowls, tons of MVPs, tons of All-Pros, tons of Pro Bowls. There's just tons. He thanked his family, his teammates. He actually texted a few teammates over the weekend saying that he was retiring. He thanked coaches. He thanked Jim Caldwell of the Lions. He thanked Bill Belichick. He thanked Tom Brady. He thanked, Fox and Kubiak and anyone else, Tennessee, the Tennessee people, the Colts people, Dungy, and the Broncos people. So congratulations, Manning.
Hmm.
He turns 40 years old later this month. You know, speaking of birthdays, our conehead dog, who is a butthole but is awesome, turns 2 this weekend.
Oh, really?
And then the 24th, Boss turns 4, just to throw it out there.
Wow.
All right, so Misha Tate and Nick Diaz both win at UFC 196. Misha Tate beat undefeated Holly Holm in a chokehold in the 5th round, and Diaz beat Conor McGregor in a submission in the 2nd round.
That was pretty big. I got to imagine the UFC, the world.
They're like losing their mind.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think as much for the Holly Holm uh-huh. thing, just because Misha Tate is a good fighter,
yeah.
And Holly, Misha Tate's a good fighter, and Holly Holmes isn't as good on the ground
yeah.
as Misha Tate is. Ronda Rousey is great on the ground, but she's not a good striker.
Right.
So Holly Holmes had an easy time with Ronda Rousey because Ronda Rousey couldn't get there. Same thing to an extent with Holly Holm was punching the hell out of Misha Tate. It went 5 rounds.
Yeah.
Misha Tate couldn't get inside. Holly Holmes was sticking her, boxing the hell out of her. But Misha Tate was able to get in there, and as soon as she got in there, it was over. She was
yeah.
able to get her in a chokehold, and Holly Holm didn't even tap out. She let Misha Tate choke her out.
Yeah.
Like, choked her out. She collapsed. Like, she started punching at the air.
Yeah.
She was trying to punch at the air and then went out. She didn't even tap. And some of those guys actually tap. Like, they don't get put in that position.
Mm-hmm.
So they feel that they fight the choke, so they're fighting it. And then once they feel like they can't fight it and that pressure starts to come, you see them instantly start tapping because they're mm-hmm. like, I don't want to be knocked out. Holly Holmes is like, uh-uh, you're going to take me out.
Yeah.
But I think the bigger story is McGregor because he was touted as, like,
favorite.
The guy. Like, not just in this fight, but he's the guy. He talks the biggest crap. He has the pictures of him with the guns.
Yeah.
You know, he's Mr. Yeah. What's her name? Ronda Rousey on the guy's side, Mr. Crap Talker.
Well, to me, he
got blasted.
To me, it goes to, you know, people expect him to be like Tyson Fury, who beat Vladimir Klitschko, who was the heavyweight champion. And, you know, it just kind of shows, it's like, you know, you hear all these things about Tyson Fury, and you're just like, oh, he's such a loudmouth. He's mean. He says all these homophobic slurs. He says racist slurs. He does this. He does that. But at least he won. Conor McGregor, I love him. I see what people are like. He blah, 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 blah. And then Nick Diaz showed that he's better and beat him.
Yeah, I mean, he did submission in the second round. It's not even close.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Diaz is not exactly a unflawed fighter. He's had his ups and downs. He's not exactly a newcomer.
Nope.
So
been around. All right. So Steph Curry and the Warriors lost in Lakerland to the Lakers, 112-95. Hey.
Man, if you bet the Lakers, we heard this on the radio. It was something like 25-1. It was something insanely huge. Like, I don't know, you bet $1,000 on the Lakers, you would have won like $25,000, $30,000. The odds were just enormous for them in that game. The spread was 20-something, and the odds, if you would have bet the Lakers, were, I don't know, 25 or 30-1, something insane like that. So.
Yeah, and if you bet like $9,000 on the Warriors, you get like $100.
Yeah, so some insane. And you know how many people actually won? I'll tell you, if you're a gambler and you're a Lakers fan,
mm-hmm.
you won. Because if you're a Lakers fan, you always believe the Lakers can win. And if you're a gambler, if you're somebody that gambles, you have to have money on the game. So you know how many people probably won yesterday because they go, well, my Lakers are playing. I'm at the game. I got to throw $25 on the Lakers. Got to throw $100 on the Lakers. And they walked away with thousands of dollars. It's no different than in football. If you're a Cleveland Browns fan and you're a gambler, you're somebody that likes to gamble, you like action, you don't have to be a degenerate gambler. But if you're a gambler, you're betting your Browns.
Yeah.
You're not betting against your Browns. You're like, what's the spread? Oh, Cleveland's plus 24 against New England. Okay, give me the points. I'm taking Cleveland. Or you take the money line. So guarantee you, a bunch of people won big money yesterday who are just Lakers fans, who bet the Lakers no matter what. And they happen to pop out a win. So big deal. Big game. Hey now!
All right, so Lovie Smith has been hired. He's back in Illinois with the Illinois University football team.
Oh.
As their first black coach, because they want to do a whole diversity, because they've been told that they need to be diverse. So who's better than Lovie Smith? Now, this is his first college head coaching.
Yeah.
Now, he's been defense in Ohio and another school. But, yeah, so this is his first. He signed a six-year deal with $21 million, so $2 million for the first two seasons. And then go from there.
And then from there, it builds up. Well, that's good for Illinois.
No.
That's a big deal.
That's good for Lovie.
A good coach.
Yeah.
Not a bad coach.
Maybe he can, you know, maybe he could do better in the college mindset.
Yeah, most of the pro coaches that have been in the pros for years and 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 years, and, years,
yeah.
and then they leave and they wind up going to the college, they normally do really good. Because remember, in college, it's also about recruiting.
Yeah.
And you can recruit when you're a pro coach, when you're competing. I mean, look what Harbaugh did with Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan, before Harbaugh, not that they were horrible, But between Harbaugh going there and Harbaugh being there, they you know, leaps and bounds are better. I mean, they're almost competing for a national championship.
Mm-hmm.
So the recruiting is the big deal. So when they got to get kids and they're competing against top schools and they got to go down and meet with whatever high schooler and they got to pitch that high schooler, it's a big deal if that high schooler is going to play under Jim Harbaugh, Lovie Smith, or, you know, Bert Sedgwick. Who's Bert Sedgwick? He's a coach who's been there for, or a Super Bowl winner or a contender. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And you create that team. So they'll be good because they'll recruit. Kids will go there because they want to be coached by Lovie Smith. Remember, a lot of the time, the parents are what pushes the kids.
Yeah.
So the parents are like, well, you know, son, you could go here, you could go there, you could, hey, you got Lovie Smith. So that's what happened with USC. When Pete Carroll was at USC, it was a big deal. Pete Carroll is this guy who was with the Jets and New England, and he's got a name. And
yeah, and, you know, also, if you are in Illinois and you're looking at schools, you are pretty much automatically a Bears fan, so you go.
Yeah, why would
the Bears to the Super Bowl?
Sure, why? So. And if you're in Illinois and you're good, you're gonna go. I'm gonna play at Illinois.
Yeah.
Remember, kids will want to play for a head coach who was a successful pro coach because now that coach has got he's got ties to the NFL. If you're good, he could always put a word in for. You'll get people, you'll definitely get recruiters from the NFL to come and look at you.
Yeah.
Lovie Smith calls up, hey, so-and-so, you got to come down and look at one of my guys. He's, you know, come down, hang out. But It'll be real good for Illinois. What else?
A final story.
Okay.
Victor Cruz, it says that he is willing to take a pay cut from his contract with the Giants. Now, the Giants have said, we're going to release you if you don't do pay cut. I mean, you've been hurt. You've been out for 17 months because you're constantly getting injured. There's something constantly going on with you. So either take a lower pay cut. We won't give you the $7.9 million of 2016. Negotiate it, and then we'll work it out. Because they have a $9.9 million cap right now, and if they can lower the wounded giant, if they can lower his contract, then they'll be able to work more and get more. And, you know, with the whole coaching and new coaching staff and everything, we've got the draft coming up in a couple months. So.
All right.
That's it.
Sounds good.
That's all I got. My name is Katie.
You got a lot of good stuff, Katie.
Thank you. This is Rob.
Hi, Gav. Hi.
This is the Rob Zicari Show. It is Monday.
It's a fun day. It's a Monday, a fun day.
No, Mondays are never fun.
But listen, you're a mime today.
Shut your face.
You're a mime.
All right.
Do the mime.
No. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.